So to introduce myself, my main topic and my subject is OpenAI cluster, Sun cluster, and cluster agents. I'm the maintainer of the Postgres agent, amongst others, which is the integration from Postgres into Sun cluster. So there's no surprise, my main topic and my main focus is availability. So let's go to the agenda. I said before, availability. Here it is what I'm talking about. How to increase the availability for Postgres while using Solaris and probably our cluster project. Then definitely we'll have some questions. Why is high availability important? Most of the people run Postgres on standalone servers and they are happy. And so on. But time is short, let's continue. Increasing the availability of Postgres. You can use the features of Solaris, and I highlight some later on. You can use the shared disk approach for high availability with Sun cluster and a supported integration of Postgres into Sun cluster. You can configure warm standbys, starting with 8.2 with PG standby, which is fairly easy to use. You can use master slave replication with Sloney, like ClaraNet is doing. And on top of that, you can combine replication with shared disk with high availability. And if you need a true disaster recovery in the Solaris world, you can use our geographic edition, which I'm outlining a bit at the end of the talk. What do we have in Solaris 10? We have our SMF feature. And one question I had, who is familiar with the features of Solaris? Not too many. And who has ever used high availability clusters before? A little bit more. So I have to outline what the features of Solaris are. SMF service, the SMF facility is process monitoring. So you bring your Postgres processes under a contract, and SMF is taking care in real time about these processes. Whenever these processes are vanishing, they get restarted on various events. You can use IP multipathing, which is our redundancy option for network adapters. So if one adapter is failing, your spare adapter, hopefully you have one, is taking over immediately without any interruption. And if you want to get rid of the some of the main problems which are sitting in front of the keyboard, isolate your Postgres databases within containers, because a DBA which is trashing one database is able to trash the others as well. So if you isolate them and give the DBAs only the right to access the databases in the containers where they're responsible for, you are perfectly safe from somebody shutting down the wrong database, because he has no access rights. And only the things which cannot be accessed cannot be trashed. The container is not a complete OS instance. It is more like a jail. It is running on a shared kernel, but it's perfectly isolated. But containers are perfectly isolated against each other. The root administrator in the global container can access any local container, yes. But a root administrator in container A cannot access anything in container B. When we developed containers, we had a contest inside Sun. We made a server available and publicly, and told anybody, here are the containers, here are the access data from one, and try to access the others. And we released the containers when nobody was able to hack the others. So we got a fairly good isolation, and we had some nifty little giveaways for the ones who hacked the containers, so there was quite some interest. I think at the end, in the last round, I think 5 or 6. At the first phases, plenty. But no software is perfect. So in the first releases, you will have more problems, more oversights, and so on.
You were able to control the CPU allocation as well.
Yes. This is our resource management, which is not a more or less an availability features. But because you can control, you can limit the amount of CPU which one process or one application or one container is taking. You can do this on the process level or on container level.
Can you do the same with
dispatching? Not right now, it's a future project. I think Solaris 10 update 6, but I'm not 100% sure.
So, why is high availability important?
Downtime is costly. Your database is the backbone of your application, of your system. If your database is down, nothing is working anymore. If your web server is down, or one of your web servers is down, fine. You might have others. But if your database is down, you're out of business for some time. You can't avoid failures. Hardware, software, human errors. So failures will happen. And no admin wants to be called out at every error and every failure. So automated recovery is the goal. When I was an admin, my clusters were always working. And when one of the servers died, they started calling me. And I asked them, did the other one start to work? And they told me, yes, so why are you calling me at night? I analyze the root cause tomorrow. So with high availability, your admins have a better sleep. And every single system has single point of failures. Regardless how many Rust features you put in, there are a few exceptions like tandems, but these are the only ones with no single point of failure. So every single point of failure can bring your system down. And HA clusters are the way out of that. So you will have a spare system. What's OpenH high availability cluster? We are in the process of open sourcing our cluster project. Our cluster product. So open high availability cluster is our code base for our commercial product. Currently we have the agents open sourced and the geographic edition, and the core product is coming later this year, and I don't have the allowance to tell you the date, but sometime this year. So then our complete cluster product will be open sourced. Every putback is going first into the open source gate, and then we fork off the commercial product from that, like we do with OpenOffice and StarOffice. So we are perfectly committed on open source with our high availability. We have a community, which you can join or can observe. And Postgres, the HA Postgres is one of the projects there. And our code is available under CDDL. How we provide our high availability? We tolerate single point of failure and some double failure, not all of them. So if your system has only one network card and the network card is dying, you will have a failover, because a single point of failure. But if the other system has one network card as well, and this network card is dying as well, out of luck. Your system is inaccessible. But single point of failures will always be tolerated, and some double points. We're relying on hardware redundancy, like our Solaris features for network multipathing. And we monitor, and we have a robust infrastructure here. We monitor the health of our infrastructure, like network, storage, the hosts. And based on top of that, we have to orchestrate the recovery of applications, and though we have to monitor the applications as well. So having SMF only is not enough for a database, because having the processes sitting there does not mean they are working. So you have to access and monitor the database and see that it's working. And we are doing that. Our infrastructure is integrated into Solaris, which gives us some advantages. Our error detection is not load resilient. You cannot overload the system in a way that a dead node is not detected, because it's run these mechanisms are running in the highest real-time classes possible over the kernel. Our membership is fairly robust, and we have quorum algorithms where we need disk quorum or server quorum to avoid split brains. And we have a disk fencing for our data integrity. Some other high availability products have the option to import disks on both nodes and write to them on both nodes in parallel. And then the data is crap. And you have to avoid that. And and before this has happened, we kill the remaining nodes and have a race for the fencing and ensure that only one node can access the disk at a time. Let's go to our stack. We have the applications on top, and Postgres is an application for us in this respect. We have the agent as a glue layer, and we have the cluster infrastructure and the operating system. All of these four components work together. Between the cluster, we have some Hartwig mechanisms, and we recommend two networks for that. We can live with one, but we recommend two. We have shared disk or shared nothing topologies available, which I illustrate later on. And for sure, we have our networks on top. We have different types of services, failover services. If one server dies, the application is started on the other one. Quite common. We can do failovers between servers and between containers. And we can even failover a container. We can treat a container as a service. So we have various models to integrate containers. And large banks using the containers as a service, as a black box. And some of them applying Postgres on top and monitoring just the database and having everything else in the in the container. Nobody cares if the container fails. It's restarted on the other node. The database is restarted and everything is fine. And we have another concept. We have a scalable service with an inbuilt load balancer. We have for web, it's perfect for web server and application server. And Oracle RAC is using that as well. So we...
Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, the bad word, yes, but they're using it. Unfortunately, Postgres is not able to use it, but if Postgres improves, I'm happy to implement it. And What we are doing here is we are running multiple instances of an application on various nodes, and we are guaranteeing a number of instances of an application and have an IP-based load balancer in front. If you want to use an external load balancer on top of these multiple instances, fine. You can do that as well. Just to orchestrate that, to illustrate that a bit more, think about having an Apache web server in front of your Postgres database or an Apache Tomcat. This one here is your application or your web server, which and you're running it in two instances. And you have a database in the same cluster, configured as a failover service. As soon as the first one is failing, it's taking over. The database is taking over, and the application or the web server has to reconnect, and everything's fine again. If one of the other nodes is one of the Apache nodes is failing, the load balancer will detect it and redirect the queries to the other. And if you use an external load balancer, it's up to the external load balancer to detect the same. And we have a global network on top of that to ensure this behavior for our load balancing. And here we have a picture of the infrastructure stack. We have our heartbeat monitoring across the cluster, our heartbeat network. We can have scalable servers, and we can have a subset of servers connected to shared storage, or we can connect all of them. One of the benefits is here we have a global file system available. So regardless whether or not a node is connected to the storage, it can access a global file system. So no problems in cross-mounting or NFS cross-mounts. Just mount your file system global, and every node in the cluster has it. We have failover file system, of course. We have our services as illustrated before. We have a resource group management where we can set dependencies between resources in one resource group, or we can define dependencies between resources in different resource groups. And a future project will be that you can define dependencies between resources in different clusters. Sounds complex, but sometimes the configurations are complex and you need these features. So imagine if you have an application server and this application server is not able to reconnect from its connection ports, and your database is restarting, you have to restart the application server as well. If just the database is restarted or failed over, your application is unusable until you restart the application server. So by configuring restart dependencies, you can tell the cluster, okay, whenever you detect a successful restart or failover, restart your application server. And you will have it usable again within minutes. And nobody has to be called out, the system is handling that. The only problem is it costs a little bit of money. So what are cluster agents? Again, our stack here, and I'm talking about the agents. Applications can run unmodified on top of a cluster. Some applications are cluster aware, but others are not, and Postgres is not. So you need a glue layer, something to integrate Postgres or another application within the cluster. You have to start, stop, probe, and have to do this robust enough. If you have an application on top of your database, which is not offered by us, you can write a custom agent. And we have various methods to do that. The downside is you have to decide on your monitoring. You can use a fairly rudimentary monitoring, or you can use an in-depth monitoring. This is up to you then, if you do it customized. But if you do not find your application amongst our supported applications, You have to write your own one. Yes, we have a generic agent where you specify a start script, a stop script, a probe script, and a monitor script. Or you can even use a simple probe script, which just connects to a port, and if the connection is open, it's set. And by the way, the Postgres agent is written on top of this agent. On the early days, this generic agent was seen as just for simple solution. But even our container integration, our container agent is written on top of this generic agent. So more than 50% is written on top of our agents are written on top of these generic agents. You can do this in a high sophisticated way or in a very rudimentary way. It's up to you.
You have a Postgres agent.
Yes. I've written it, so I...
would it be better if it was more integrated with Postgres, or are there features in Postgres that would be more useful for making the agent more better?
Things I would like from Postgres is something like Oracle RUC, or having the standby node readable, like it is in MySQL, which is better in MySQL than in Postgres. Currently, you cannot read data from the standby node, but I think this is a feature on the feature list for 8.3.4 or 8.4.
But does your agent need any more information just to kind of check that the standby database is applying logs properly?
It cannot check that because the problem is we do not have timestamps in the Postgres log. I cannot know in the Postgres log in the log file. There's no timestamp in the Postgres log.
Do you mean the server text
log? Yes. Yeah, because if we have that, we can check when the last log is applied, and then we can double check how the configuration is, how long is it allowed to remain, how long the archive timeout is. And if it's longer, then it's not working. Or even better, it would be a command to check the replication inbuilt. MySQL has one. Yeah, we can just discuss it over lunch and over mail and over phone on that. But I'm the maintainer of the MySQL agent as well, so I can compare the features and I can tell you what I would like to have. Yeah. The problem is within the cluster, you cannot configure an application within the cluster without an agent, either the generic one or an inbuilt one. So what are your options to write an agent if you cannot use a custom one? You can use our agent builder, which offers the generic data service. You can use a C-based library, DSDL, or you can use our shell script API. On top of the GDS, you can use a template we are providing on our community page, and most of the GDS-based agents are written with this template. It adds some features, and it is a reliable code, and I think we have more than 2,000 implementations all over the world using this template on top of our agents, so it's robust, and I would recommend to use it. I wouldn't use the others, because it's too much work. What can we configure with Postgres right now? The traditional shared disk approach, an application on top of the database Storage resources, logical host. This is quite common. Nearly every high availability cluster can do things like that. But we try to extend it a bit. If you have a dispersed cluster and you're sitting on top of an EMC, Symmetrix, or an Hitachi array, you can use storage-based replication instead of a shared disk. It's feasible if your cluster nodes are very far away. We support cluster nodes up to 700 kilometers distance with a metro cluster, which we call spec-based campus cluster, but then you have to guarantee that the latency of your storage net, of your storage and your network has to be in specific boundaries. And then you can configure clusters. This must be synchronous then, because in one cluster you have to guarantee the replication between the storage boxes. And if you want to do a failover, you do not want to lose too much of your data. We can do this between zones. We can even do a failover between two zones in one system. To be honest, my normal development approach is using a single node cluster and testing failover between two zones in this cluster. So having one node is perfect for cluster development. Configure cluster as a single node cluster, configure zones, and test your failover, and you're set. So you don't need a huge amount of hardware to do that. We can do failover zones. We can configure applications on top of Postgres and Postgres as a resource on top of a zone and treat the zone as a resource. And then we are failing over a zone from one node to another. We can even treat zones as a black box. Don't care what's in. Doesn't matter. It's up to your design. And by the way, I've written a part of the huge part of this container agent myself. And now we are coming more to the roadmap, what we will do. Hopefully tomorrow I'll upload an experimental package on the community page where you can use wall file shipping with PG standby to replace the need for shared storage. With all the trade-offs of wall file shipping, everything which is not on the other node is lost at a failover. But if you want to do that, fine, and there are scenarios when it's useful. Imagine you will have a cluster 700 kilometers dispersed, and you have a high write amount in your database, and you want to have a high performance. You cannot be faster than the speed of light, so you will have a high latency. But if you configure wall file shipping between the nodes for shared storage, then you can write with faster speed on the primary side and replicate your logs to the standby. And if your primary side is failing, fine, continue on the other side. If write performance is more important than losing a few minutes of transaction, this is perfect. But it's up to you what you want to use. And you have to make the design what's most important for your business. And we are giving you the choice to configure. And we will have a role changer resource then, which promotes a standby to a primary. So we will have an application, a role changer, a logical host, and your client will access the current primary to this logical host. And you will always end up on the primary. And this will be available for Solaris Cluster Express, for OpenHA Cluster, from our website, hopefully tomorrow, as experimental, and it will evolve into our product when the next patch train is coming. And by the way, we're eating our own food. We're using this one in one of our internal projects where we host open source data. We can do this between zones. It's obviously, and you can even test and develop and try it out within a single node cluster. Then you can replicate between two zones. And if we have some time, I can demonstrate it later on in the second part or offline. I doubt that I will have the time, but yeah. And with this package, you can replicate between clusters. No problem. The agent will stand that. So you can have a DR cluster on the other side, currently with manual intervention. But if you need a true DR, you can use our geographic edition. And our geographic edition is sitting on top of Sun cluster or OpenHA cluster and orchestrating the two clusters together. So one is the primary side, and you have to have a replication, which is currently availability suite, which is like DRBD, like the DRBD protocol, or a storage-based replication, which is SRDF and TrueCopy. And hopefully later this year, we're offering a generic replication module with at least two examples. One will be wall file shipping, and one will be Sloney. That you will have an inbuilt replication between clusters with wall file shipping or Sloney. The downside is the failover between the cluster is not automatic. And there's no use in making this automatic, because a failback may be costly. So you will be notified, and you have to acknowledge a failover, and then the geo edition performs the failover. And all you have to do is press a red button saying yes, and you will have the failover sometime later. Depends on your replication. With let's make some examples. This availability suite or SADF or TrueCopy. You will have dirty pages after the failover. And if they are not too much, you can resync just these dirty pages. With any synchronous protocol, you can catch up. You can catch up back then. Obviously, the log shipping is not synchronous, it's asynchronous. So you have to, and after a failover, your new primary is a bit behind, and the databases are not in sync anymore, and you have to take a base backup and apply it backwards. No way around that. But these are the restrictions here. Another one is what I would like to have, a synchronous replication here from Postgres, to overcome these deficiencies. And then we can have failover and failback in shorter time with shorter downtimes. Challenging, but yeah. Maybe 8.5. Maybe 9. Yeah. Now I'm coming to a live part. How much time do I have?
Depends on how many people are. So
let's ramp up a Firefox first. And here with this system, I'm running a single node cluster in a VMware workstation. When you're standing. I'm showing you the browser-based interface first.
We'll start a new session. That's offline mode. HTTPS. Won't work. Which one was it? On the VMware, it is Dolver 10. It's compiling now, because it's booted right away, so the first one takes a little bit longer. In the meantime, I log into the system. And show you some of the CLRS status. What I have here is a logical host resource. I have a storage resource based on ZFS, and I have a Postgres database. If you make any error, help is at your fingertips on the CLI, it's context sensitive, and you get the help you needed. Don't know what this is right now. Okay, let's go with the CLI. So we have a Postgres database running in the zone, and it's online in zone 33. Let's ramp up a client, which is a script. Which just inserts some rows in the table. It's just doing inserts. Now I'm indicating a failure. Zone ADM. My node is down. See. Oh.
It says check for
a Yeah, okay, this one here. It's back again. So it was a few seconds. It was a failover from a Postgres database while I'm heavily inserting rows in the table.
Shared disk
approach. Okay. Just showing you the GUI. I log in as root. Cluster manager, and the performance is not too bad, I guess. And you must imagine this is a virtual machine here running on top of my laptop. So
Let's see here topology views. Resource dependencies. We have our resources. This one is the database, which is dependent on the storage and on the logical host. If you want to change something, we'll double click, we can add it. And what we are doing now, we switch a primary. Resource status. No, it's not this. We have to dig in. So, okay. More resource action. We have a switch a primary. Now it's resource groups. I never use this. Normally I'm a CLI guy, so I switch a primary of a resource group. Switch a primary, I'll pick this one, which is not the current one, and I say okay.
So that's stopping the thread on one node, starting up on the other.
Right.
And forbidding any overlap.
Right. Clean stop. And if a clean stop does not happen, it does a brute force stop. But it first, with respect to the database, it tries a clean stop. Does a shutdown first, it does a shutdown fast, then a shutdown immediate. And if shutdown immediate does not work, it kills the processes. Otherwise, it has no other choice. And you've seen that the switchover has taken seconds while I was inserting.
And if I accidentally try to start up the second node by mistake, is the pipe over the length of the thing because it says...
No chance. You have no chance to start up. With the BUI, no chance, you can't even pick that one. And if you don't know the commands, every action is displayed here. So, whatever it is doing, it's highlighting in the BUI. So start, if you don't know the product, starting with the BUI and getting used to this, to the command line is fair. Yeah. The disk fencing is our SCSI reservations, SCSI 2 or SCSI 3 protocol. So the nodes which are not allowed to access the data are fenced off in case of trouble. And then the disks are reserved and they have no chance to access it.
This system out there isn't using that.
No, it's a single node cluster. And the fencing is not used as a single node cluster. But it will take a few additional seconds. So I'm cheating a bit here, maybe by 10 seconds. So.
Well, I'm curious about this. What is it that's actually stopping it from starting?
Not the fencing. You can't even get to the disks. You can't even mount the disk. You can't access it. No
yes,
chance.
The
shared storage is not available on the other node. We have a CFS file system which is imported on one node and not on the other. So your storage is not present. So, and without your PG data, you cannot start your database.
Okay, if we can stop it there, please, if there's any more questions over lunch. That's all right.